Love. We write books about love. We see movies about love. We write poetry, songs, music. We paint about love. Well, I don't, but some of us paint about love. Ironically, wars have been fought about love. Races have been held for love. Throughout time and today, we try to define and describe love. We seek love, require love, need to love, and be loved. If you were to describe love, what would you say? Or sing, write, play, or draw? I'm going to share a part of a long letter. A portion of a letter that tries to define and describe love. Written by a bloke called Paul about 2,000 years ago. Listen as he describes love. If I speak in human or angelic tongues, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong. Or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor, and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. And where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. But when I became an adult, I put the ways of childhood behind me. For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. For now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now, these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. This is the word of the Lord. We know this passage is 1 Corinthians 13. It's often read at weddings and funerals, both Christian and secular. Extraordinary words, aren't they? You know, we believe that these words were relevant to the Christians in Corinth at the time, and they're still astonishingly still relevant to us today in our everyday lives. What did you notice? What stood out for you? In a sentence, Share what you noticed with someone sitting close to you. I'll give you half a minute to share that now. What did you notice? Go. So remember that. Remember what you noticed as you heard it. Why did Paul write this letter? And to whom? It was written to a church in Corinth, the chief city of Greece. It had been refounded by Julius Caesar about 100 years before this. It was a port city, a city of commerce. And at the time of Paul, it was the largest city in Roman Greece. It had theatre seating for 15,000 people. It was cosmopolitan. It had immigrants from all over the world, and they brought their own gods, and it was also known to be morally corrupt. And the Christians brought a lot of baggage with them, and that caused some issues in the church. Paul had preached the gospel to the Gentiles and Jews in Corinth, and a church was born. So this was his church plant. 4 years later, he writes this letter in response to some reports he heard and also questions from the church. Now, the Corinthian church was probably the biggest of the New Testament churches, about 30 to 40 people. And they had some issues in the church. And he'd heard that factions had developed. Who would have thought factions in a church? And although the church was gifted, it was immature. So he wrote this letter to instruct and restore the church. He wrote to instruct about Christian conduct and also about worship. And although this chapter is often read at weddings for the wedding couple, and we all go, ah, it's actually about the church, in particular about corporate worship in the church. He emphasises about being part of the body of Christ. And in chapter 12, the preceding chapter, he writes about gifts and ministries and that each person is a member of the Messiah's body. And no gift is more important than another. And he leads into chapter 13 with these words, "And yet I will show you the most excellent way." The way that Paul points to in chapter 13 is the way of love. Now, the Greeks had four words for love, and at best English has two, love and affection. And the word for love throughout this passage is agape love. In the New Testament, it's used for love that is unselfish, caring about the concerns of another person. Agape love is what Jesus showed when he died for us. It is God-like love, divine love. There's a sense of choice, a sense of selection here. It's agape love that Paul is expecting of the church at the time, the church today. We are made by God to receive and give this kind of love. We could swap our name for love and we would clearly fall short. We miss the mark. Lynn is patient and kind. Now just ask Craig if that's always the case. Humanly speaking, this love is impossible. We can't live up to this high bar. And when we fail, we need to be quick to apologise and quick to forgive each other. But if we were to swap the word love for Jesus, we have a different picture. Jesus is patient and kind. Jesus does not dishonour others, does not delight in injustice, keeps no record of wrongs. Jesus always protects, trusts, hopes, and perseveres. In this passage, love is first described positively. What love is. Love is patient and kind. And then it's described in the negative sense, what love is not. It does not envy, boast, dishonour others. It's not self-seeking, easily angered. It's not proud. It keeps no record of wrongs. I think Paul is exercising some tough love here. He's challenging behaviour. Then it's contrasted with a contrast statement. So love does not delight in evil or injustice, but rejoices with the truth. And then we have four things that love does. Love always protects, trusts, hopes, and perseveres. Paul then goes on to describe the spiritual gifts as temporal and describe childhood and maturity, finally finishing with faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. These words continue to challenge us. They challenge me. You know, I heard someone recently speak about a different services worship preference. Words along the lines of, I wouldn't sing what they're singing. You know, I've heard it a number of times since I've been here. Is this expressing love as patient and kind? Is it honouring others and others' preferences and differences? You know, we're called to love and honour each other, and that's not always easy, given our differences. So what is our purpose together? How are we to express our love? I like the simplicity of the three B's: belonging, believing, and blessing others. Craig and I led a weekly small group at our last church for about 12 years. We're an eclectic bunch of people with different ages and stages, and we had singles and married and divorced and widowed, professionals and white and blue collar workers. We belonged together, called by God to be family and community. We supported each other, each having a place to belong as we did life together. We exercised our belief in God as we gathered to grow in our faith, to ask questions, to pray and to study the Bible. And we blessed others locally and globally. We gave gift baskets for young mums who'd been victims of domestic violence and for families that we heard of through the school pastoral support workers. We gave packs to families sitting with loved ones at a hospice. And we gave gift boxes for children overseas. We belonged, believed, and blessed others, and it held us together. It gave us this focus and this purpose. And I see this as a blueprint for Connect Groups and any group in our church, as well as for our church as a whole. Everyone needs to belong. All cultures, all ages, all walks of life. We yearn to be in community together. You know, some people belong before they believe or desire to bless others. There are so many people in our community that just want to belong and feel that they matter to others. There are people in our streets around us that are crying out to feel they belong, to feel they are valued by others. Then there's belief. This is about praying together, connecting with God, studying the Bible together, worship. And most importantly, providing a place to ask the hard questions about life, about Christian living, and about faith. Some of us connect with this part before we connect with the belonging bit, and that's okay. And finally, there is blessing others. What are we doing for others? Too often we think of church as our church, which is all about us. We treat the church facilities as the club room for our club. We come for our needs to be blessed. Church is all about us. That's not what we read in the Bible. The church is for people who aren't in the church. To use a sporting analogy for a moment, and I don't do this very often, being very unsporty, but I like to think of the church building as the change room. It's not the main game. The change room is where the coach encourages the players, instructs about the game, where the strategy is unveiled and discussed, and it's the place where the players encourage each other. The real game is life itself. Life for each of us is where we live and spend our time, Monday to Saturday. It's in our families, our workplaces, our communities. It's where we spend time with others, bless others, where we do life together with others. This is the challenge for us as a church. to be a people of belonging, believing, and blessing others? Do all of us, each person who walks through our doors, feel a sense of belonging? Are we welcoming? How do we welcome people after the service starts? Do we connect with people when they come for the first time or the thousandth time? Is there a sense of insiders and outsiders? I believe every person needs to feel at home at church, a sense of belonging, a sense of welcoming. I came to faith because I was invited and welcomed, and through being loved unconditionally by people, I discovered the unconditional love of God. You know, when I had cancer this time last year, I needed a village to walk with me. It takes a village to walk with cancer or grief or depression or struggle. And God gives us this village as we belong together. In our believing, we believe in one God. Although we might have different understandings of Scripture, different expressions of our faith, different expressions of worship, we believe in one God, and that belief brings and holds us together. Our unity is greater than our diversity. We choose to live and serve alongside each other, discern and pray together. Our church can be the visible evidence that a better world is possible. Do they know us? By our love. Belonging, believing, and blessing others is a blueprint for us. As a church, and for every group in our church, connect groups, craft groups, youth, evening fellowship, friendship club. Some of these groups sponsor children, donate to worthwhile causes, provide physical help to people in need. A couple of weeks ago, we had a parent from Mainly Music who doesn't drive, requiring some furniture taken to the Genesis Reborn op shop just in Cowandilla before moving interstate. You probably heard the call for help in the church news. Someone offered a morning and a trailer, and we were ready to help when she contacted me to say her brother managed it in his car in two trips after all. She was so grateful to the church for being willing to come to her aid. And as she moves interstate, she goes remembering the church willing to help, willing to bless others. And hopefully that helps her to connect with a church where she is now. And on a side note, it'd be great to have a list of people willing and able to coordinate things like this. So if you could do that, perhaps let myself know or Louise know. I don't know about you, but we've had ants in the house in the last few weeks. See, we're not the only ones. We woke up last week to an amazing ant trail. It looked a bit like this. This actually wasn't it. The photo I took wasn't in focus. It started in the corner of the linen cupboard. It travelled through the hall and the family room up to the kitchen bench, where it went up and along the top, and it fanned out all over the kitchen. There were ants everywhere. So many ants that there was an easy trail to follow. It was actually easy to follow it back to the source. You know, sometimes when there's just a few ants, a few randoms, you can't find the source. You can't find the trail. But with many, it's easy to trace. Isn't love like that? When love is with purpose, when love is with abundance, when love is overflowing, love leaves a trail to the actual source. We love so that love is everywhere. Like the ants, they march with purpose. They're in abundance. They're united. They're single-minded. They're on a mission. They're belonging together, united in believing in the mission, bringing stuff back to the nest, which is blessing others. Remember the ants. Be like the ants. Not annoying. You know, Paul is encouraging us to love in a radical way with God's love. This is sacrificial love, the loving we choose. He finishes with faith, hope, and love. They are eternal, but the greatest is love. Let's commit to loving God and loving others afresh this year. Belonging, believing, and blessing others is a blueprint for us in this. As a church, in our connect groups, in all our groups, and also individually as we belong to Christ, we believe in Christ, and we bless others through Christ. A bell is no bell unless you ring it. A song is no song unless you sing it. And love is no love unless you give it. Let's pray together. Father God, thank you for your amazing love. Patient, kind, protecting, trusting, hoping, persevering. You never fail us, and we are so grateful. Lord Jesus, as we read this short chapter, we begin to realize how far short we fall from your standard of love. We're sorry for those times. And thank you that through your love, those times and all our sins are forgiven. Holy Spirit, thank you for your patience with us. Empower us, equip us to be a people of belonging, a people of believing, and a people of blessing others, so that others may be able to follow that trail of love and come to know you, so that lives are restored, brokenness is made whole. Lead us, Lord, we pray, in the name of Jesus. Amen.